Without workers' comp, Chuy Duarte might never have received the care he needed to survive his catastrophic workplace injuries. Texas Mutual was there for him every step of the way, helping him get back on his feet, back on the job, and into the gym. Watch Chuy's story at WorkSafeTexas.com/Chuy.
You know, it's been fascinating watching the evolution of housing in this area of North Texas. You know, over the last several decades, all of a sudden people not only want to live multifamily, but they'll pay for them. They'll buy condominiums. They live in high rises. And I would think that a lot of people will tell you there's a lot of schlock that has been built out there, but not the ones that are coming out of streetlights. This is really a remarkable outfit that builds buildings that look like, you know, maybe something you'd find surrounding Central Park in New York City. The CEO of Streetlights is Doug Chesson. He joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, David. I loved your introduction. Please do it again.
No, but I shouldn't say schlock, but I mean, there are a lot of modern buildings, a lot of aluminum, and boy, there's a whole lot of glass. Mm-hmm. You use a whole lot of bricks, and that looks like something that'll stay around for a while. You've got a new one that you just opened over in Deep Ellum. The Case, right?
The Case.
It's all brick, right?
It's 80% brick.
So why the difference? Why not? It's more expensive to build with brick, I guess.
It is. But I would step back from that. I would to differentiate Streetlights from maybe other developers. We started Streetlights in 2011, and the approach we tried to take was a design approach to development, which a design-centric company.
I don't know what that means.
What that means is we wanted to build in great neighborhoods. We wanted to build in projects that are more complicated, concrete, mixed-use project. That was really our background coming into starting Streetlights. Those buildings are going to be with the city for not just 20, 30 years. They're going to be with the city for 100 years.
Yeah.
And with that, you have a choice of demonizing a city or building something that's endearing to a city.
Or something that's sort of fashionable at that period of time, and then 20 years later, somebody's going to look back and say, my gosh,
right,
what were those people thinking back in 2017?
Well, so many buildings have been built driven by a person's human ego, and that's an architect, it's a developer. But what really makes great cities is buildings that are enhance the public realm, humanize the street, that you can look at the form of the building and see rhythm and see purpose. You haven't slung a bunch of bling on it. They have a base, a middle, a top. There's order and structure to the building.
But also there's this, it seems like now there's a sameness. I mean, I go from here to Nashville to Atlanta, to Phoenix or something like that, and I say, well, I recognize the building. You know, it's the same building that I drive by every other day, you know,
right,
in Dallas.
Right. So I think it's really important to build buildings that are contextual with a neighborhood. And that means you're not trying to build something that stands out. You're trying to build something that fits in.
Yeah. You've got one challenge that I think you've met now, but you're going up in Highland Park with, that's the McKenzie?
That's the McKenzie.
So, I mean, the way I think of it is right over behind Javier's, but right where sort of Knox and McKinney and everything else.
Right. So let's take that building. I mean, our analog for that building was SMU and the old Parkland building that Harlan Crowe did.
Oh, yeah.
So that's very in keeping with the architecture of surrounding Highland Park. So that was the contextual context from which we tried to design that project.
So who's going to live there? Who do you build the building with a demographic in mind?
That building we did. That building was built for a demographic of you. It is the person who has lived in that neighborhood most of their life. They raised their children there. Their friends are there. They want to be close to that community, but they want to be able to lock their place up and leave on the weekend. They want something that's high end, that's nice, that is not like an apartment, but it's like a high end condominium. And we believe the value proposition for renting versus owning a condominium are better. And that's what we're going to try. That's what we're going to try to offer people like you.
Well, you're involved in a lot of interesting things. You're building the one that's over there across from the Perot by American Airlines Center. It's got to have the Tom Thumb in it.
The Union?
The Union. That's what it is.
It's actually, our building is going to be called the Christopher, the apartments.
The Christopher. So how did you, so you've got the Case, the Kelta, the McKinsey, the Christopher. Where do these names come from? Are these all friends of
okay.
yours?
Great question. I'm glad you asked. I started naming buildings after my children.
Oh, is that right?
And then we started naming them after our children's children, after after my partner's children.
Well, there has to be some more begatting if you guys get any bigger, because I notice you're in Nashville, Phoenix, Atlanta, San Diego.
Yeah, actually, we have offices in San Diego, Phoenix, the Texas markets, Atlanta, and Orlando. You're right.
You just started this company 5 years ago?
6 years ago.
Good night. That's quick.
Been quick.
And you are you're a graduate of the Trammell Crow School of Real Estate, among others. I mean, you've been here a long time.
Finest group of graduates in the business.
Do you all get back together ever?
We do. Actually, I had dinner with the national managing partner of Crow Residential Monday night.
Well, that's fabulous. So what do you got next? So you've got another one going up in Deep Ellum, around here.
We're going to start another project in Deep Ellum, the Epic. And that'll start in the next several weeks.
And any signs of a slowdown? I mean,
yes. What I would tell you is, I've been in the business 30 years. Yeah. It's usually a market that's very definable. We overbuild. Rents have to drop down. B people move up to A's. The C's move to B's. And until everything equilibrium comes back into balance,
right.
And you rebuild. This time, we are not oversupplied like people think. Actually, economic vacancy in our city has always been historically about 6 to 7%.
Right
now, we're 95% occupied on all of our units, so we're not oversupplied. The problem is construction costs have gone up so much that the affordability of units is making it very hard to underwrite new projects.
Well, but so that enforces the slowdown.
That
is
slowdown.
Inevitable. Mm-hmm. Look, do me a favor, and I think you will, without me asking, keep building really interesting and attractive buildings rather than doing the cookie-cutter thing, okay?
I appreciate your compliment.
Doug Chestnut's the CEO of Streetlights. Thanks for the time. I really wanted to meet you. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you, David. It was fun.
All right, David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.